if you're expecting the glow.
Yeah, the
glow. This is the Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode 48, and we are jumping off of Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon, yes. Which came out in 1985, and you can tell from the first scene that it came out in 1985.
Absolutely.
And it's basically a kung fu comedy.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, with Vanity in it, who was one of Prince's proteges back in the day. Right. And
protege slash girlfriend,
and the evil ninja guy named Shonuff.
Yes,
Shonuff. And that's it's cheesy and kung fu and amazing, and that's a podcast.
Yeah. Well, no, it's really funny. I mean, Berry Gordy, for anybody who doesn't know, is founder of Motown Records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, responsible for, like, half the great music that came out, you know, over, like, a 20-year period.
And none of it made it into this movie.
Right, right. Yeah, none of it, which was the craziest part about it.
None of the music in this movie is any good.
No, it's awful.
But it's awful, and it's cheesy, and...
Right. Like, I think the movie would have ascended, like, out of, like, cult status and into, like, being a halfway decent movie... If Gordy would have just said, you know what, we're just going to use a bunch of music that I have. Like, let me bring the music. This is what I do.
Right. And then,
but instead, God, the music is terrible.
But a lot of it's intentional.
Like, right,
the,
right.
The fake Cyndi Lauper type, which is nothing like Cyndi Lauper because Cyndi Lauper is actually a reasonable human being.
Yes.
But the fake Cyndi Lauper that's thrown out by the money-hungry white music producer... is intentionally awful, but
right.
The rest of it is just synth crap, which is what...
Very 1985.
Yeah, very 1985.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's no timeless music in this thing.
No.
But there's definitely period music.
Yes, it is definitely period music. It's, yeah, it isn't quite like blaxploitation, like film level crazy.
But it definitely came out of that DNA. Yeah.
You could definitely tell that like Gordy watched some blaxploitation movies and liked them and was like, I'm going to do something kind of like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's...
But at the same time, he watched a lot of kung fu movies, apparently.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, it's a nice blend of everything. It's not a terrible movie by any stretch.
No.
It's
enjoyable.
Right, right. And
as long as you're not expecting... Well, it was big production value at the time. If you're not expecting current special effects.
Yeah.
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 If you're expecting the glow.
Yeah, the glow. But it's funny, though, because the movie actually... I mean, there are other movies that this sort of... Like, they aren't... This movie inspired later movies.
Yeah.
In some way. Like... If you ever watched like Kung Pao Enter the Fist,
yeah,
like that comes from that, like Black Dynamite, mm-hmm. You know, it all has that same kind of vibe.
Well, even like Three Ninjas,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean, sort of a silly, like the kung fu genre. It's very easy to make fun of,
yes,
but thankfully, like a lot of people in the genre just don't take it real seriously. Like right. They understand how silly it is. So that's. You know, it helps that you can make something like that, or like Three Ninjas, or what was the Chris Farley one that I cannot remember?
Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's funny because that's how I originally found this movie.
And Beverly Hills Ninja actually had better music.
It did, which is really sad. But that's where I actually found this movie back in the day, was I was watching Kung Pao Enter the Fist, and a buddy of mine came in and was like, you gotta watch The Last Dragon.
Yeah.
Like, if you like this movie, you have to watch The Last Dragon.
Yes.
So, that kind of got me into it, and that's where I found it, and I like it. Turns out my wife actually saw this movie.
Well, there you go.
And this is not a movie that my wife would watch on her own. I don't know how she watched it, but she liked it.
So. Well, it's a classic, and you know, and it's one of those classics that nobody thinks about until they see it, and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's a good movie. It's kind of it's almost like the Golden Child meets 70s Kung Fu.
Yeah,
if you've watched the Golden Child, I don't know if you have, which is Eddie Murphy freaking saving the Buddha movie.
Yeah. There was a TV show, there's a channel called like Fuse TV, which is sort of like the alt MTV VH1, like especially when it first came out.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like, oh, MTV and VH1 are too commercialized, where Fuse were something different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They, and I don't know if you ever saw it, it didn't run real long, they had a TV show called Kung Fu.
No, I never saw it.
Where they took old Kung Fu movies and dubbed over them. Freaking hilarious.
Well, Kung Pao kind of did that. But did they that. Actually, you know, they actually replaced the lead character.
Right.
But for the rest of it, it's all basically redubbing.
Yeah, yeah. What they did was they took these old Kung Fu movies and then like dubbed over them with like hip hop people and like kind of gangster stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would use like famous people to come in and like do silly dubs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's a stupid show, but it was really funny. And that, like I said, all that sort of has its roots.
Yes.
In this movie.
Yes, yes.
And so it does have kind of a bigger cultural impact than I think they really ever planned on it. Like, I'm sure they expected the movie to make some money, and it made a little bit of money.
Yeah.
But it wound up, like, oddly having cultural significance.
Yeah, because, it was one of those summer blockbusters in 1985.
Right,
I mean,
as that, it flopped.
Yeah.
But... you know,
but it lived on video.
It did, and it probably was one of those movies that, you know, just got reborn on video, because as people watched, they were like, this movie isn't terrible, this movie's great. It's like, it's completely mindless, like hour and 40 minutes.
Yes.
So it yeah, but that's it. I mean, it's it would be a movie that if it was done right, I wouldn't mind seeing a remake of, if they're gonna go around remaking stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. They'd either make it too slapstick or too serious.
That's true.
They don't walk that line.
That's true. And I think the only way you can walk that line is by not knowing that you're walking that line.
Yeah. You'd almost have to, you know, have somebody write the script and hire people that never saw the original movie and don't know that they're making a remake.
Right. Right. and you're right. That's probably how it is. Because, I mean, yeah. Because anytime you try to do something like that.
Right.
To try to be, well, we're going to be serious, but not too serious. We're going to have fun, but not too much fun.
Yeah.
You wind up going overboard on one side or the other.
Or they make, you know, Daredevil hallway scene, you know.
Yeah.
Which is good fun, but not when you're expecting The Last Dragon.
Yeah. But no, the glow. That's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to go into my gym tomorrow for Muay Thai and be like, I'm looking for the glow.
Yeah, so you're going to try to center yourself and find inner peace and attain the glow.
Yes. Yeah. And then my hands are going to glow gold.
And you're going to refuse to do anything until you find the glow.
That's right.
Because apparently being a whiny bitch will lead you to enlightenment. Worked for Luke.
Yep, it did. It really did. In a way, it's working for Rey.
But we'll see how that might works be working out. Might be working for Kylo. Who knows?
Who knows? No, it definitely worked for Kylo. Like he's not the apprentice of being a whiny bitch. He is truly the master.
He is
of
being Kylo. A whiny
bitch.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. God, I hope they make him better in the second movie.
But I don't know if we want him to be better. I don't want to see the redemption story of Ben Solo.
Yeah,
I want him to be worse. Yeah.
Right, I want him to be an actual bad guy, not just emo bitch.
Yeah, but, I mean, his powers were, you know, the holding the laser bolt is more than anybody else has ever been able to do.
Right.
Or at least it's different than anyone else has been able to
do. Yeah, well, it's...
shows more control than Vader has shown in anything.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
It is, but...
in theory.
He also looks like he got beat up and had his lunch money taken a lot as a kid.
Well, yeah.
You're always picking on me. I'm not very happy.
No, you're...
all the other knights think I'm a loser. Screw you, I'll form my own.
And I started it.
Yeah. I'll form my own order with blackjack and hookers.
And we'll drag our lightsabers across the ground behind us. Yes. Because that looks badass.
Yeah. We don't give a fuck. Oh, now we have an explicit podcast, my bad.
There's always a little E on it.
That's true.
Because that way, the kids will listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, it's the Two Live Crew effect.
Yeah, so your parents may not let you listen to this one.
It's got an E. For everyone.
Yeah, that's exactly it. E for everyone that may want to care about 1980s black kung fu movies.
Except on iTunes, it says explicit.
Yeah.
Ooh, ha, ha, ha.
That was like Walmart used to always do that with their albums. Like, they would just write, like, even, like, I could sort of, when I showed, and I'm talking about when I'm like 12 years old, I could show the album to my mom and, like, my thumb fit over the frontal advisory. And so I'd be like, yeah, can I get this? But, like, at the top, Walmart would always write, like, explicit on it. I'd be like, well, you can't have that.
So your thumb at the bottom and your finger across the top.
Yeah, but then it looks really weird because I'm holding it all janky and I'm like, yeah.
This is how I hold it. This is the cool way the kids hold the CDs.
This is my gang sign. Check this out. Yeah. I get shot if I'm in the wrong neighborhood doing this. But yeah, so I couldn't. I had to sneak away and, like, buy my own records.
Yeah, well. Walmart didn't have explicit when I was coming through.
Oh, they did. Dude, they used to edit stuff.
Yeah,
they
radio edited the fuck out of things.
Yeah, I know. It was awful.
Yeah.
You can't listen to that stuff edited.
No.
It's no fun.
No, you can't have NWA the police.
Yeah. Yeah, it just sounds like you're listening to, like, five dudes with a stuttering problem. Like, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Police. Young. Bad. What? It's not even a sentence. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you can't listen to the first Eminem record without swears. Come on. That's not even a record. That's just a guy saying words, nonsense.
The only tape I remember buying at Walmart was Nine Inch Nails Broken.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's the only memorable Walmart purchase that I have.
I remember eventually I just wound up having, like, to save my money and then tell my mom that I was going to the bathroom. Uh-huh. And then go, like, buy whatever album I, like, pick up whatever album I wanted, like, go towards the bathroom and then, like, loop around to the register, buy it, put it back in my pocket, and then come back like I just went to the restroom.
So yeah, it would, to the security team, they'd think you're about to shoplift it.
Until I took it up to the counter and then you paid for it.
And then you tuck it in. Yeah.
So I'm just 13 and I want to listen to some Tupac. Leave me alone.
I want to listen to shit with the word fuck in it. Come on.
Right. It's not my fucking business. I'm angsty. I'm a teenager now. Leave me alone. Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to freaking Two Live Crew at 12 years old.
Two Live
Crew. I mean, my sister got the tape when she was 14, so it could, you know.
Yeah. Dr. Dre and Tupac, California Love, was when I was like, you know what, rap music's pretty badass. I'm sorry, I like this. Mm-hmm.
California does know how to party.
Yeah, yeah. I want to go party in California. That's exact, because they know how.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm like.
In several cities. Yes.
They're all listed at the end.
And throughout.
That's true.
Yeah. It's pretty much a constant thing with that song.
It is. It's so shameless.
I guess there are verses.
But, like, you know how, like, Georgia on My Mind is, like, the state song of Georgia? Could California Love be the state song of California?
Yeah.
Like, could that get put on the ballot somehow? Because it would be so funny.
Well, I think Jay-Z's Empire State could beat out New York, New York at this point.
I don't know. New York is so... But see, New York, like, everybody else outside of the city hates it. Because the rest of New York State hates New York City.
Right.
Like, they want to break away as, like, their own state. And so, I don't think either one of those would fly. But then again, like, New York City hates the rest of New York State.
Yes.
Like, God, it's a bunch of hillbillies.
Yeah. That's where we go to vacation. Yeah.
Oh, New York State?
No. The city people go up to the woods to
vacation.
Yeah,
they go to Syracuse to get away from it all.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
city's only got like 100,000 people in it. Like, there's only like 4 Walmarts, guys. This is bullshit.
Are there Walmarts in New York City?
Fuck if I know. I hate New York City. I've been once. I hated it. I won't go back.
I went with family when I was small, so I don't know.
Yeah. No, I. That just isn't my kind of, like, I can handle a city, but New York's just too much. Like, it's just, it's too big. There's too much shit going on.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you get into, you know, if you're living there, you end up with your neighborhood, and you can get everything right around you in your little neighborhood.
That's the positive. Like, I have a friend that lives in Brooklyn, and she's like, yeah, I never leave Brooklyn. Like, I work here, I just, like...
You don't need a car, you just walk.
Yeah, she's like, I could vacation in Queens, because I only go there, like, twice a year.
Exactly.
Like, that's pretty much... She's like, oh, I'm gonna go on a vacation, we're going... I don't know, like... gonna go
there's an island over there with a bunch of stuff on it. I'll just go look at that.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do for
it's called Manhattan.
Yeah. I'm gonna go to Manhattan for vacation. How you gonna get there? Subway, it'll take me like 20 minutes. But I never go.
Well, it's like you know, living in Okinawa, the bottom half of the island is city, basically.
Right.
And but it's a city with no crime. Yeah, which is nice.
Which is crazy.
So you can walk anywhere and not worry about anything.
How is there no crime?
Because there's a freaking little police office on every block.
Wow. Well,
they have block officers there's a little office, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a block is fairly large, but, you know, there's an officer for each little area. And they patrol their little area, and, you know, if anything goes wrong, it goes wrong.
That works.
Also, there's no guns.
That also helps.
And
it's hard to shoot people without.
And for the most part, the police officers don't even have guns.
Yeah, that's
when you got over there, one of the things they tell you is, if the shit has hit the fan and you've done some horrible things and there's cops coming at you, and you feel like you need to run at the one with the gun, because that's the new guy, because the other ones will beat your ass, that one might not.
Surrender to the new guy.
Just run through the new guy. No, don't surrender to him, run through him. The one with the gun is the one you're most likely to get away from.
That's the new guy.
Yeah. Because the experienced guys don't need that gun.
Yeah. Because all Asian people know Kung Fu?
No, all Japanese police officers know Kung Fu.
Oh, okay. Well, that works.
That is not a stereotype.
No, they literally all do. Like, it's crazy.
Especially on Okinawa, where karate comes from.
Yeah, that's true. They should all be able to whoop your ass.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you could run from cops here, because a lot of them are just fat. I'm decently in shape. I'm pretty sure I can get away from most cops. Like,
and, you know, we're pale enough where they're not going to shoot us.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm so white. They just be like, oh, we must just be having a bad day. Like, I'll just run away, like, holding my white privilege card up. I'm like, nope, can't shoot me. Sorry, guys.
I hate that I can make that joke.
I know, right? Yeah, it's so terrible.
God. Yeah.
It is.
And it's getting even more so, but anyway.
It is, actually, yeah, because that was, you know, that's what popped into my head when you're like, oh yeah, Okinawa, no guns. You know, the whole bullshit of, hey, you know, we want the Japan to pay more to keep our military there. They're not going
to
do that.
No, because we want to have our military in Japan. A, because it provides us coverage for the region, because we like our empire. And B, because we don't want Japan having a fucking military.
Right. Well, and see, and that's the catch-22. If we pull their military out, then Japan's in a situation of either A, having the military, or B, breaking their treaty of surrender from World War II.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what happens if they do that. Like, do
If we pull out, then they can.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never
because we
read that deep into the...
Yeah, I mean, we part of the treaty is... You can have a defense force,
right.
But we will cover it.
Right.
So that's the treaty.
Oh, okay.
So if we pull out, then
they can have a military again.
Yeah. Then Japan can become an empire again.
Huh.
Because that's what happens when Japan gets military, just like what happens when you reunify Germany. Anyway.
Yeah.
When did we do that? Shit.
To be fair, like, half of Germany was in pretty shit shape.
Yeah, they've been brewing for about 20 years. We'll see.
Yeah.
historically, we're about due. So.
A little overdue.
No, well, it's about right.
It's about right.
It's about right.
Yeah, like, that's what I understood, like, because you were in the military, so you would know, like, even the Japanese soldiers that are in the UN, like, they're all support staff, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're medics, they're technicians, they're not, like,
they're
not, like, gun-carrying, like, frontline guys. Well,
they have a defense force,
right.
Which they do military training and stuff like that, but it's a very small defense force, and they don't have, like, ballistic missiles or anything that.
They don't have, like, Abrams tanks. Like,
It's kind of like our National Guard, almost.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that's what they have as their entire military. Whereas, you know, the freaking Koreans have Rock Marines, which are fucking
hard
awesome.
Asses. Yeah. Yeah.
We went and trained with them, and we're like, oh, we're pansies.
We're loser
man.
Marines. Yeah, we don't have anything cool.
Damn.
We're just regular Marines. Like, Jesus. Yeah, that's... I don't know. And that's the other thing. Like, what if South Korea is like, okay, well, then leave.
Well...
Are you going to really, like, release the horde from up north? Like,
well, yeah, I mean, South Korea doesn't want us to leave because...
No, obviously.
We're keeping North Korea at bay
in
their minds. A kind of odd detail of the Korean armistice. You know, they have full-time Air Force and Army personnel on the peninsula, but no Marine can be stationed on the Korean peninsula for more than 6 months, where it breaks the armistice.
Weird.
Because the North Koreans don't want Marines stationed in South Korea for more than 6 months.
Because that means they are planning some shit.
Well, and the fucking Marines were the ones that actually beat them back in the freaking war.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Army guys. It's the
they
truth.
Don't respect you,
We took the ground. You gave it back. That's how the Korean War went.
Fortunately, my grandfather didn't have to fight in that.
Yeah.
No, it was crazy. My grandfather was actually a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
He boxed in the Citadel.
Okay.
And then there's not like an NCAA for boxing, but there is like a collegiate boxing thing. And he boxed in that. And then he boxed in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he would do, they stationed him in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
He was in the Army Corps of Engineers. And he trained in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would go to, like, USO tours and fight.
Yeah.
And so that's why he didn't have to be stationed anywhere. Like, they just stationed him where, like, the good boxing trainers were.
Yeah.
And then he would go and fight.
Put him on tour, basically.
Right. Yeah. So he was like, yeah, I'll catch punches instead of bullets. Like, totally cool.
Okay.
Yes. Build shit during the day, train to fight at night. I'm good.
I was like, I had a guy in my shop that I was working with that, you know, he'd take off for 6 months to be on the Marine Corps bowling team.
The Marine Corps bowling team?
Yes.
They have a bowling team?
Yes.
Tell me those guys are picked on. Like,
no, because that's the fucking cush gig. And the guy was a staff sergeant. So,
oh,
you know,
nice. Nobody's screwing with him anyway.
You can't screw with him. You know, he goes off and friggin' bowls for 6 months.
For 6 months.
And then
oh
comes
God.
Back.
I did the wrong thing.
It's like that is the fucking gig.
I should have been like my friends and doing like the Marine Corps choir.
Or the Army choir. The Marine Corps band, yeah. Unfortunately, Marine Corps band, they promote very quickly. But if the shit hits the fan, they're one of the first people that they say, okay, get your ass over there.
Really?
Yeah. Because you are non-essential. You go do your thing. Because everybody's trained to be a rifleman. So go be a rifleman, tuba player.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah.
Go take your piccolo and your rifle and go shoot somebody. Yes.
Shoots in the fan, two guys just boom, 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 boom.
And he's a gunnery sergeant. Yes, yes.
Oh, no.
Because he's been in the band for 9 years.
Yeah. That's the problem. Like, yeah. Yes, sir. What did you do before this? Played the flute. Ah, shit. We're all going to die. This is terrible.
Yes.
It's last time we fired a rifle. I got certified like 9 months ago.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You long enough to keep my certs up.
You go do the rifle range once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But yeah, no, I have a buddy that's in like the army, like one of the high army bands, like that plays at like presidential
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's
it commandant's own.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty decent gig.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do the military, that's probably the way to do it.
As long as the shit doesn't hit the fan and they don't send the band.
I love James, but I don't really see James. Like, all right, buddy, here's your M16, here's your sidearm, go to battle.
Yeah. What?
Classically trained flute player.
What?
I mean, I'm sure he'd do it, but I don't think it's what he's built for.
No, no.
He's
no.
just... I don't know. But yeah, it's...
I don't know. Drum corps will get you in shape.
Drum corps will get you in shape? He never did drum corps.
Oh, well. Never mind
like,
then.
Classically trained. Like, James didn't do marching band in high school. Like, yeah. He was so good that he was above marching band.
Nobody's above marching band.
At my high school, they were, because our marching band sucked.
Yeah.
But our
symphony... And you had that symphony.
Yeah, but our symphony orchestra was the best in the country. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, a lot of our symphony players didn't play
in the So your entire band. School was below marching band, is what you're telling me.
No. Marching band was below our school.
No,
no. Yes,
no. You've got it backwards.
No.
No,
no. We played football instead of marched.
If the trombones aren't loud enough where people have to cover their ears, then it's not music.
I mean, that was symphony sometimes. That was terrible.
If the trombones aren't loud enough where the band director threatens to have them turn around and face the visitors, it's not music.
That's funny. No, we had...
That might have been my fault.
Dude, I know. I was the exact same way. Like I struggled so much, especially as a younger player... Playing softly. Like,
I never struggled.
I just
didn't do it, especially if it was marching.
It was very powerful. Like, yeah. For whatever reason, like when I got my rental viola.
Yeah, very powerful rental viola.
No, it was this beat up, nasty looking thing, but it had the most beautiful tone. Like, it was dented, it was scratched, I carved my initials in it. Like, it was just this, it looked like a hunk of junk.
Seasoned character.
And, right, yeah. But it had the most beautiful tone. Like, yeah. I took it for, like, all-state auditions.
Yeah.
All these people, they're auditioning from Bob Jones with, like, $10,000 instruments. I'm bringing out this, it looks like just an old piece of junk.
It's got bumper stickers on it.
Right. Dude, my case had, like, Godsmack stickers and stuff on it. Like, it just didn't matter. And so I looked so out of place, but it just had this gorgeous tone, you know, this beautiful instrument. And I could just, you know, I was playing it very well. And I'm like, first year Allstate with the crappiest instrument you've ever seen.
And I don't know why they let you actually audition with Godsmack at Bob Jones. But
No. like South Carolina High School Orchestra.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
For Allstate.
They send you out a piece and then you
sight read. No, there were three. Everybody in the Allstate Orchestra fell into three categories. Mm-hmm. Either you were from Spartanburg High School, you were from Bob Jones Academy, or you were from anywhere else in the state. And it was third, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always very awkward, especially as I was like an older teenager and very sort of punk goth, that I would be like first chair. And then there'd be this super conservative like Bob Jones kid right beside me. And I'm like, hey, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, we had...
Want to try some Satan?
For the band stuff, the tryouts were at Bob Jones.
Ah.
No, solo and ensemble was at Bob Jones, but...
Greenville's was. Ours was at Commerce.
But they didn't dominate it or anything like that, so...
They focused on orchestra.
Yeah.
But apparently. They weren't better than us.
Yeah. And they didn't march, so...
No.
Yeah.
Because that's of the devil.
Yeah.
Close to dancing.
Too close to dancing. Too close exactly. to dancing. You went footloose as well. Okay.
Yes, I did.
So we were on the same page.
Right. I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
Ooh. Okay. Speaking of on the same page, next time.
I guess we are going to do Rick and Morty.
Okay. Season 2.
Season 2.
Okay.
Rick and Morty.
Because I've watched season 1.
Yes. Well, season 2 picks up right where season 1 left off, so maybe watch.
So I might have to watch
last episode of season 1. Because if not, you'll be like, wait, why is everything like that? Huh?
That's pretty much how that show goes anyway.
It pretty much is.
But we'll talk about that next time.
Cool.
Till then, I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram, and...
And I'm the Joe You Know on Twitter. I'm that Joe You Know on Instagram. Look at pictures of my dogs.
Yay. And we will talk at you next time.
This has been a Southern Geek Podcast.